Mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
Great.
Well,
not much going on, huh?
No, just another quiet day.
This whole thing this morning at 5 o'clock, when we got some of the story on this bankruptcy thing about the lawyers looking into it and said, are you going to have to file for bankruptcy?
Look, obviously, I hope not. You know, what we've been doing over the course of the last year is shouting from the rooftops that we can't have a strong, successful, and solvent city if we don't have a new partnership with the state of Connecticut. You know, when you've got a city that has less taxable property than the suburbs nearby, where half the property is non-taxable, it just doesn't work. We've made the deep, deep cuts that we could make before we get to the edge of, you know, what's responsible. And a city that's already overtaxed is not responsible to tax it to death. So we've been saying for a long time, I've been saying for a long time, that this problem cannot be solved responsibly at the local level alone with the tools that we have. But my hope is that we as a state are going to recognize why it matters to have a strong and sustainable capital city. Because, you know, this isn't just the symbolic capital of our state. It's also the economic engine for the central Connecticut region. And so I'm going to continue making that case as hard as I can. And at the same time, I don't think anybody should be surprised that we have to begin those conversations about what happens if we can't come together as a state to make sure that our capital city is strong.
Well, Mr. Mayor, that's the big question. If the city of Hartford were to file for bankruptcy, what does that mean? What does that mean with contracts with the city employee unions? What does that mean with contracts with vendors? What does it mean?
Well, again, let me just say very clearly, my goal is not to file bankruptcy. My goal is to get the state of Connecticut to work together, recognizing that we can't grow economically as a state if we don't have strong cities. If you look everywhere in the country at the places that are growing jobs, that growth is happening in cities. And so if we in Connecticut want to be competitive and we want to grow out of this fiscal crisis that we've got at the state level, we've got to get our cities competitive. If that doesn't happen, as I said, there is no way to do it responsibly at the local level. So if you go down that road, what happens? The first thing I would say is I think it's a huge reputational stain on the state of Connecticut. You know, I think it makes GE going to Boston look like nothing. I think it's going to hurt our economic development efforts as a state, and I think it's going to put us on the front page of every paper around the country as the first state in the country to have our capital city file for bankruptcy. What does it mean practically? It means that the city would be renegotiating with bondholders, with pensioners, and with unions under the umbrella of a federal bankruptcy court.
You know, we get call after call, and these folks aren't racists, but one of the big problems that they have, and a lot of people have, I'm just being honest with you, is that Hartford is a sanctuary city, and they can't understand why we have to have sanctuary cities. We get this all the time, and what it costs us.
Well, I think the question, Mr. Mayor, that people want to know is, regardless of what the definition of a sanctuary city is, if they live outside of Hartford, why should their tax dollars go toward rescuing a city that's in financial difficulty that is home to people who have come to this nation illegally?
Well, first of all, their communities are also home to people who have come to this country illegally. We have 11 million people living around the United States who are undocumented. The restaurants that they're going to, if they're in any surrounding suburb, I guarantee you there are people who are working there who are undocumented. I guarantee you there are neighbors of theirs who are undocumented. This idea that the city of Hartford is somehow paying some enormous amount of money because of the undocumented people living in the city, it's just false. It's false, and it's rooted in this what is a broader anti-immigrant agenda from Washington and from the Trump administration. It would cost us far more money as a city and as a state if we were trying to round up tens or hundreds of thousands of people, lock them up and detain them for months at a time while deportation is processed, with no real benefit because the vast majority of those folks pose no threat to anybody. What we should be doing is what we are doing, which is focusing on criminals and focusing on violent criminals and not shielding anybody from justice. If somebody is a violent criminal, we want them locked up or we want them gone. But this whole idea that Hartford's fiscal challenge or any other city's fiscal challenge is in any way related to our policy with respect to, you know, who gets arrested solely on the basis of immigration status, or, you know, whether somebody gets asked about their immigration status at a traffic stop, is a little absurd. That's not the problem. The problem is that most of the middle class left the city of Hartford decades ago, that as taxes went up to deal with that, more and more taxpaying private entities moved out and nonprofits moved in, that as wealth grew in the surrounding towns, you had property values stagnant in the central city, and you have all of those non-taxable services, whether it's state government or hospitals or colleges or the MDC, which is treating sewage in a multi-billion dollar plant in the city of Hartford, or Mira, which is burning 70 towns trash and land in Hartford, and all of those things pay no taxes. That's the root of the problem. If there were not a single undocumented individual in the city of Hartford, it wouldn't change our fiscal situation one bit.
Now, we had the, when it comes to contracts and union contracts, the head of the police department union called us about an hour ago.
He listens to us, and he called us up.
He said that the police department union has put millions of dollars of concessions on the table, but he said he can't get you to negotiate. What's going on with that?
Well, look, I guess he's decided to negotiate in the press. If he wants to negotiate in public, I'm happy to do that. Here's the bottom line. Business as usual is that, you know, you come together and one side, you know, gives a little bit and the other side gives a little bit, and you make a bunch of promises about pension commitments down the road. Maybe you get a couple zeros or zero raises, but you also give a really good health care plan and you make even more generous pension commitments down at the back end, or you push the cost out. We're not in a position to do that. So am I asking a lot from all of our unions? Yes, I am, because we have to. And that's why with our, if you look at the example of our agreement with our fire union, we got an agreement with our fire union that I think does more than any other agreement you could find in the state of Connecticut in the last 25 years. And that was an agreement where our firefighters stepped up and took 4 years of no wage increases. For new hires, they actually dropped the salary scale. They increased their pension commitments by 50%. They shifted to a high deductible health care plan. For active retirees, they went from active employees, they went from 20-year to 25-year retirement. They made dramatic changes in retiree health care. Those are big changes.
Is that what you're looking for out of the police department union?
That is exactly what I'm looking for. If we can't make structural changes that need to be made, if we can't touch salaries, health care, and pension.
But what is he talking about with millions of dollars in concessions, though?
Well, let me tell you this. There's a big difference between, you know, $2 million and $16 million. So I don't know what millions means. Millions can mean a bunch of things. It can mean something that's virtually meaningless, or it can mean something that's real.
But you have.
And what I will tell you is that I don't think we have yet seen an offer that comes close to recognizing the gravity of the fiscal crisis that we face.
From them. From the police department union. He says, by the way, that morale is low, and he's putting the blame at your doorstep for low morale in the union. What do you say to that?
I would say that the city of Hartford had to borrow money to make payroll this year, and that his predecessor, the police union, stood up at the General Assembly last year and made a commitment that the unions together would give a minimum of $8 to $12 million last year. And they didn't put anything even close to that. So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, again,
And I'm not, here's the problem. We can't afford to just reach an agreement so we don't have to be in negotiations anymore. We can't afford to just reach an agreement at any cost. I have to push for real changes because our city needs real changes.
Again, the firefighters They came, I mean, we had a big story yesterday on that. It was front page of the Current. So what is it about the firefighters?
That was I give them an enormous amount of credit. I think they recognized the gravity of the situation. I think they recognized that the city can't do business as usual and that big changes had to be made.
But you are losing firefighters, though. Aren't you going to be losing a lot of firefighters?
We will,
although
we have a lot of firefighters who are reaching retirement age, just as we have a lot of police officers who are reaching retirement age. And I think many of those retirements would have happened regardless.
Okay.
But, you know, we have to negotiate deals that the city can afford. The bottom line is we have to negotiate deals that the city can afford. And I'm going to do everything I can to make those changes on behalf of the city of Hartford and on behalf of the residents of Hartford. Let me be very clear. I have an enormous respect and admiration for our police officers, just as I have an enormous respect and admiration for our firefighters. These are men and women who put their lives on the line, literally. Just 2 days ago, City Council recognized officers, one of whom had chased down an armed suspect who had a gun, had fired shots, chased him down on foot, apprehended him without further loss of life or incident. We have incredibly dedicated, brave police officers. I admire them deeply, and none of this is about. I don't know if you can pay anybody enough to compensate for that.
Can you stay after the news?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. All right, we're coming up on a hard break. The mayor of Hartford joining us in studio, Mayor Luke Bronin. Mayor, back to bankruptcy. You talk about how, from a reputation standpoint, it would really hurt the state, be a stain on the state. Elaborate on that.
Look, I think it's pretty clear. This would be the first state in the country to have its capital city in bankruptcy. We're a state that right now is facing fiscal crisis, but we're struggling to maintain the perception of Connecticut as a strong competitive place to do business. And I think that there's no question that it would hurt the reputation of the state. So that's why I don't want to go down that path.
Right.
But the bottom line is, at a certain point, if you slash services more in a city that's already underserved, or if you raise taxes in a city that's already overtaxed, you're just killing the city another way. And that's what I won't do. I won't do that because I don't think it's responsible, and I don't think it's the way to get either our city or our state healthy. So the much better way to do this is to come together as a state and recognize what we all have at stake in our cities, all of our Connecticut cities, because they're all the critical engines of economic growth, but our capital city in particular. If we can't all come together, we got to recognize that you simply can't slash or tax your way out of this problem if you want to have a viable city at the end.
But there is the perception out there among people who don't live in Hartford that bankruptcy, if it could get the city out from underneath some of these obligations, that it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, let's just talk
I
about...
I don't agree with that, by the way. That's not my...
I know. We've talked about it. Look, what I would say is a couple of things. Number one, let's take these things one at a time. Right? What does bankruptcy do? So one, potentially means you're giving your creditors a haircut, those people who bought bonds. Well, people think that that's not going to have an impact on the credit rating either of the state of Connecticut or of other municipalities in Connecticut. I think they're mistaken. I think it's going to have an impact throughout the state if you have your capital city in bankruptcy. Number two, you talk about pensioners. You know, it's another place that changes get made, where people's pensions get reduced. Now, I know people read stories about, lavish pensions that are, more than people earned, on their base salary. That's offensive to me. That drives me crazy. But the truth is that most pensions out there are not that big. And the other thing is that many of those people receiving those pensions live outside the city of Hartford. They live in a lot of the communities around the city of Hartford. So it's their residents that are going to be hit.
And they live in Florida, too.
Although that part doesn't concern me as much. The fact that someone's mentioned down in Florida gets reduced, but they'll move back home. But the third piece is the union negotiations. And I think I would much rather see our unions come to the table and make real changes, work with us to make real changes. That's not easy. It's not easy to make real changes. It's painful. It's sacrifice. But I would much rather see that happen. So I would tell you that I don't think it is an easy solution. I don't think it's a quick solution. I don't think it's a clean solution. And as you know, there was a national group that has been working with the city. It's called the National Resource Network. It was formed under the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. They've worked in cities like Detroit, Providence, others, distressed municipalities to do financial assessment. And you know that one of the heads of that wrote an op-ed in The Current this past weekend,
right,
where he made clear that you know bankruptcy will have consequences for the region and it will have consequences for the state. But it also made clear that the city of Hartford does not have the tools. As he put it, I think, you know, there is no low-hanging fruit there, at least not nearly enough to close the kind of gap that you've got.
What I'm concerned about, and I know there are a good many that don't agree with me, what I'm concerned about, if we file bankruptcy, that this is going to be with us for a long, long time before we get back. There's so many things that have to be done. And I am just wondering, will we ever get back to where we want to be? That's the thing. That's the thing that bothers me.
My goal is to get this city on a path to growth, on a path to stability and health. And, I want to make very clear, I'm not advocating for bankruptcy. I want to avoid it, and I want to avoid it in a way that is actually sustainable. You know, I don't want to just kick the can down the road. I don't want to just buy six more months or buy another year and then be back in the same problem. We've got to solve this problem if we want to have our city in a position to grow and help drive the economy of our state. But I'll tell you what would be with us for a long, long time is if we keep going down this road we're on. If you slash services so much that, you know, we can't keep our police force operating and staffed, we can't plow streets, you can't fix potholes, you know, we can't maintain a competent, you know, and adequately staffed administrative service in the city to administer government effectively. You know, if you can't do those things, that's going to be with you for decades, because what that means is your city just sinks further into decline. And that would be the worst outcome.
But you said don't raise taxes, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not willing to just do what's been done in the past, which is jack up taxes one more time. And after making really difficult and really deep cuts, I'm not willing to just cut so deep that we can't function as a city. Because that would be the worst thing for the city.
And these
are the worst thing for the residents. And it would be the worst thing for the region. Because you cannot be a strong suburb of a struggling city.
And these are the things that people tell you they don't want. They've told Dan this. They've told it to me. You take surveys and so forth. But this is the problem that I see. And this is the problem that I, as an individual, am really worried about. And I'm worried for everybody.
Well, do you raise state taxes to bail out Hartford?
Look, the state, the Hartford's fiscal challenge is a minuscule part of the state's fiscal
you
problem.
Better believe
I mean,
it.
You know, Hartford's $50 million problem is pocket change compared to the state's $2 billion
or $2.5 billion.
Well, that's over a 2-year period,
right,
though. So, you know, apples to apples, yeah, you're talking about $50 million problem in the city of Hartford and a, you know, $2 billion or next year $2.7 billion problem. I don't yet know how they're going to solve that deficit. What I do know is that finding $50 million to get your capital city solvent and stable would be a wise investment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, which is a bipartisan group, put together recommendations that included a sales tax increase, but dedicating that sales tax increase to local governments. Because I think one of the things we have to be really careful of is looking at where we are competitive and where we're not competitive. I think we have to be really careful not to raise certain taxes where we are uncompetitive. The sales tax is a place where we actually still are competitive, but I don't think we should do a sales tax increase unless we are using that to try to keep taxes down, particularly something like the very, very burdensome property tax. I mean, the property tax is one of the most burdensome taxes in the state. And in a lot of communities, including Hartford, but not Hartford alone, those property taxes are so high that they make it impossible to grow the way you need
so
to.
So raising the stage you hear, Dan, that's what I hear about property taxes. I hear
everybody hears that.
Yeah, yeah, you hear it, and the people are concerned about it. But I just think that it's got to be something dramatic that we do to save the city of Hartford. It is the capital. And I just think that we're going to be paying a long, long time if we don't do something besides file bankruptcy.
Like I said, I think there are a lot of people who say to me, "Oh, you're trying to solve these problems too fast. You're moving too fast. You can't do all this at once." And I agree, you can't solve these problems overnight, but you also can't keep kicking the can. You have to solve the problem in a structural way so that you can get on the other side of the problem and start growing again.
Now, what's your time frame here as far as deciding, well, we either have to get help from the state or we're going to have to file for bankruptcy?
Look, I can't give you a time frame. I will say, you know, I would hope that the state is going to adopt a budget long before the city of Hartford, you know, is running out of money and actually can't make payroll. You know, at some point this year, with the gap that we have, and I've been very clear about this for a long time now, at some point this year, we will not have the ability to operate.
To meet payroll and pay vendors, is that correct?
That's right. At some point this year, without a change, without a new partnership from the state. So my hope is that the state budget gets adopted long before we hit that point, and that when that state budget is adopted, it, for example, funds the pilot formula. The pilot formula is payments in lieu of taxes. It's a formula that's been on state books, state law for a long time, that calls for the state to adequately reimburse towns for having non-taxable property. And we have so much non-taxable property that if the state simply fully funded the formula that's already in law, that would give us more than $50 million a year. So my hope is that there will be a state budget adopted, that the state budget will do that or something like that. And if we can do that, then I think we can get this city on a path to stability and sustainability. But nobody should think, this is the really important thing, nobody should think that this problem can be solved in a responsible way at the local level alone. The tools aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get so many union concessions that you've closed the gap. You can't decimate services so far that you could close that gap. And you can't do an across-the-board property tax increase, especially one that hits our small businesses or mid-sized businesses, if you want to have any hope of growing.
So what you're saying right now is even if you extracted from the unions, including the police unions, the concessions you're looking for, it still would not be enough unless you got help from the state?
Absolutely. That's a part of the solution, but it's not even close to the whole solution. I mean, I've been saying that for a year as well. You know, we would still have a deficit that's tens of millions of dollars. You know, we would have a deficit that is well in excess of $30 million, even if we got every dollar that I'm seeking from our labor negotiations. But we have to have a solution that includes all things, that has all stakeholders at the table. I mean, look, our corporate communities come to the table. You know, we had three insurance companies, the Aetna, Travelers, and Hartford, step up and say, we want to be part of the solution. We don't want to be part of the solution alone. But if there's a comprehensive, sustainable solution to get the city of Hartford on a stable path, we want to be part of that. And they pledge $10 million a year for 5 years to do that because they know why it matters and they know that it's going to take all stakeholders being a part of that. Our unions have to be a part of that too. But it is important to say nobody should be under the impression that there's a way to negotiate your way out of this or that there's so many concessions that can be gotten that you close that gap. The gap is far too big for that. And that's why at the end of the day, I've been calling for a new partnership with the state of Connecticut that recognizes that you can't run a city on a tax base of a suburb, at least not if you want to have a good city and a strong city.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get back to our special guest. The mayor of Hartford is with us, and we're going to get back in just... Well, it's, let's see, 5 minutes before 9 o'clock, and very, very pleased that the mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin, could spend this much time with us. But this is probably the most important issue that we have had in many, many years here in the city of Hartford.
Mayor, you've extracted concessions from the fire department union. I see you got concessions from some other city employee unions.
Yeah,
is that right?
Right. We have a tentative agreement. It hasn't been voted on by the membership yet. But we've got a tentative agreement with the union that represents our Department of Public Works workers and a number of others throughout the city. It's the lowest paid. It's our lowest paid employees, and they stepped up and delayed raises that they probably would have gotten they certainly would have gotten, and they took 4 years of zeros, as well as making changes, structural changes in healthcare. So, you know, as the lowest paid employees in the city, they are stepping up and being part of the solution too. I give their executive board a lot of credit.
So, from a union standpoint, what's left? The police department
union? Well, we've got a number of unions.
Okay,
so we've got. Our police union. We've got what's called HMEA. It's the management employees union. We've got CHPIA, which is a lot of the other employees throughout the city. We also got municipal lawyers union. You got your crossing guards union. But those big three are the police, HMEA, and CHPIA.
What is the time frame? We can say to the people, this is what's going to happen. What kind of a time frame do we have before any of this comes down?
What's this, Brad? What do you mean? Before what comes?
Well, I know we've got the budget, and after that budget, should we be able to have a decision on either way that we're going to go?
From the state?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if the state budget comes out, and it either holds funding flat for the city of Hartford or it reduces funding, then I think it's pretty clear where we're headed. If the state budget comes out and it fully funds pilot. Or it does those things that we've been looking in partnership with our legislators to do.
The sales tax?
It doesn't matter how you get there. The point is in that two as they're solving that $2 to $2.5 billion problem.
You need $50 million.
Our gap is $50 million. Mm-hmm. $49.6 million. And to be very clear, that's a $49.6 million gap, assuming that we get more concessions from unions.
Okay.
Without those concessions, that gap is bigger. And it's a $49.6 million gap after we already eliminated 15% of non-uniform personnel last year. I mean, we cut a lot of positions. We stepped back from a lot of spending that the city had been doing. In last year's budget, made dramatic changes. So that gap is the gap that remains after making those deep, deep cuts.
Wow.
And that's why, it's so important to emphasize this is a – when we talk about a structural problem, you've got a foundation that can't support the building. The foundation is a tax base. And when you've got barely more taxable property in Hartford than you do in Glastonbury, that foundation is not good.
Talk about crumbling foundations,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But look, I always like to, when I have the chance to be here, I always like to talk about good news. Goodwin Hotel. Reopening,
yep.
Beautiful new
Absolutely.
Hotel, a Hartford icon that was
vacant
for years.
Yeah. Yeah,
come back and do it. It looks beautiful. Yeah. I just checked out the new restaurant there. And every couple weeks, every month, you have new things like that. You've got United Bank, which is moving downtown and opening branches in the downtown. The ballpark. My feelings about the decision to build it, but I got to tell you, I've taken my kids a bunch of times. They have a blast, and everybody enjoys it, and I hope people come out and enjoy it, too.
And I can tell you this on the air. He said, I can. The manager of the Hartford Yard Goats, he and his wife live in downtown Hartford. He says they love the city.
It's a great city. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to come and get some great food, see some great sports, see some great arts and music, and see some beautiful parks. It's a great city, and that's why we should all take pride in it, and let's all work to fix it.